We hope you have enjoyed our conversations with Clint, with the House Majority Leader, Brian Cutler. Our final segment is here today as we wrap up this really great talk of how we are continuing to serve and work for you in the Commonwealth. We hope you've enjoyed this. Please comment on the videos below. We're going to be posting the whole conversation in its entirety in the next couple of days. But thank you so much for tuning in. The other thing that we talked a little bit about was refinancing the Commonwealth's debt. Totally makes sense. I don't know how anybody could say that this is a partisan or whatever issue. Like, I mean, literally everybody's looking at their debt and saying, does it make sense for me right now to refinance? I would say this piece of this directs the Treasury that you need to do this. Like, there's an opportunity. We're going to need every penny we can get. I mean, we are literally going to take in an unbelievable amount of less revenue next year, and budgeting is going to be, I don't even want to think about that at this point, but it's going to be hard. So any additional savings we can get, refinancing totally makes sense to me. I was surprised that we got pushback on that, but I don't know. So I don't know if you want to talk about that at all. But
yeah, there's a couple components there. One of them is planning ahead. You know, it's very clear to see, to your point, how short the revenue collections will be going forward. People aren't working. They're not paying wage taxes. They're not out shopping for non-essential items because of that financial uncertainty, as well as the quarantine process itself. So sales tax is down. And so when you start to take all of that into consideration, you know there's going to be a big financial hole come the end of the financial year on June 30th. So we need to do everything in our power to refinance the debt and save every penny that we can. Because the other thing that we know is that the demand for many of the social programs in the budget is going to go through the roof. And we need to take the money that we save on the debt payments, and then we can use that to plug some of the revenue holes to fund the programs we know people need. And it's that kind of foresight and planning, that longer range decision making and communication, that I think is necessary. And that's really what that component does.
And the third component of what we were working at this week was the essential and life-sustaining businesses versus the non-essential. We kind of touched on that, but I just want to let people know, and folks know that are listening and watching this, that that is something that we have to look at. We need to understand how this is taking place. Pennsylvania developed its own system different than all the surrounding states. There are a lot of very challenging situations for folks, unintended consequences, I believe. The governor said we did not always get it right and we have made mistakes. He said that. So what this third component was is looking at that process and how it was taken place and where we're at currently to try and help all of the folks here in the Commonwealth understand where they fit in that. One thing that I communicated a while ago was I hate the term essential and non-essential. I want every small business to know that you are essential to the Commonwealth. You may not be able to open right now, and because of specifically what you're selling or doing, but I want you to know that the Commonwealth sees you as essential, and we need you. We need you to be ready to open up and operate just as soon as we can, because every business is essential to the success of this Commonwealth. And yes, we may have to shut, some of you may have had to shut your doors, but please be ready to open up and continue to contribute, because we value you and we see the impact that you're making on the Commonwealth. So that's the third piece of it. And I don't know if you wanted to add anything more to that or if we kind of hit that one already.
Well, I do think it's worth repeating, actually, and it's a couple things. One, I also don't like the term essential versus non-essential, because if you're counting on your income to pay your bills, it's obviously essential to you. And every small business, which is the lion's share of the people who work in the Commonwealth, are in a similar situation. And you're right. I mean, that's the backbone of our economy. And I'm proud to have stood with them this week. I'm proud that we were able to advance some of these issues. And we need to really change that conversation to, can they safely work? And, you know, I've seen some pretty innovative ways to be doing that. In the CrossFit gym that I myself go to, you know, she does Facebook Live workouts now every morning. So we're not in the gym, and we're kind of limited in some of the equipment that we can use, but we still have the option of joining her every morning. And then if you can't join at that time, you can certainly watch the video at a later time. And, you know, you see that many of our local restaurants and coffee shops, you know, they converted to drive-thrus and takeout only. It's certainly not ideal, but they have figured out ways to safely continue operations. And look, the American people are inspirational. They can give up a lot when asked. I think they deserve to know, though, what the plan is, and they will keep sacrificing so that we eventually come out on the other side of this. But we owe it to them to be open and transparent with the information, in this case, the waivers, making sure that that process is as good as it can be. And I think we all could say that we would probably do things maybe slightly differently or a little bit better if given the chance. But what we have to do is look to the future and say, okay, you know, but ideally, let's get the task force in place. Let's get a plan in place. And let's start having those conversations because the waiver process as it currently is now is complicated and horribly inefficient. I still have people who have waited weeks and haven't heard anything yet. And they don't know if they should open or not open. And that uncertainty is as troubling as the financial problems, I think. So I think that as we pointed out, I think it can be improved. We're going to keep working to that goal or to that end. But you're right. We need to keep pushing ahead and make sure that people understand that while this is a very trying time, that we're doing everything we can in each of our spheres and, you know, as a branch of government to make sure that their voices are heard, that they're represented, and that their stories are told. And I think that's really our first and only job as legislators is to represent those who send us.
That's right. And it is frustrating for the small businesses that during the waiver process, I had one call yesterday, literally someone at another business that's very similar, if not exactly the same as him, got a waiver. He did not. And that's why it's those types of situations that are hard for us to understand, that we need help to understand, and we're not getting that help. But it feels like we're picking winners and losers. And when you literally have somebody behind a desk looking at waiver papers saying yes, no, yes, no, and then putting it out there, we've created unintended consequences within small communities that they probably don't even know that one got one and one didn't, because two different people and it didn't know the area, and that's what's frustrating. But I want to wrap this up, Leader Cutler, and thank you for your time today. I love ending our podcasts and conversations with Clint with a positive story. I'll go ahead and lead this off and then let you communicate a positive story from Lancaster County. For me, the other day I was on my way to my office and somebody had thrown a bag of trash into the woods and it was all spread out. Something that we were trying to keep people from doing that, and somebody did it, and the coons got into it. And I on my way home that evening stopped there and somebody had picked it up. And so I just wanted to give a shout out again. I did this yesterday in a video, but I want to give a shout out again to whoever picked that trash up. You are a true community member who cares about their community, their Commonwealth, and their country. And what you did was a big service. Thank you for that. Whoever threw the trash out, there is a very technical term for that. It's called nonsense, and there is no need for that. Please, the transfer stations are open. Do not throw your trash in the woods, folks. Whoever it was that picked it up, I really appreciate that, and thank you for that. So, Brian, what's an encouraging story from within your community?
Well, I think in a lot of ways, your community is probably no different than what I'm about to share. But with the uncertainty and quite honestly, literally, you know, thousands of people locally and millions of people across the country are now unemployed. And one of my wife's coworkers, you know, my wife is fortunate being a nurse. That's obviously a critical need in terms of profession. And one of her coworkers' spouses lost their job. And they took up a collection at work. And because they literally had just bought a house. So like they're in the middle of everything being new. And then they probably get the biggest wrench ever thrown into their plans when they go from having, you know, a secure job to no job and unemployed and, you know, part of the income that they know is no longer there. So they took up a collection at work. I mean, and they gave her $100 and she cried. You know, it's certainly challenging at times like this. But I also think it's a good opportunity to show your neighbors and your friends and your family that you care. And so, you know, I was very happy when my wife shared the story because it showed that we may have disagreements. We may have problems that we don't always agree on how to solve or, you know, things that we wish we'd done differently. But at the end of the day, it's really about caring for your neighbor. And I think that was highlighted this week.
That's great. We're so excited. People really stepping up, and I would encourage people in the community. Now we've been talking about being change makers, and Leader Cutler, you are a change maker in the Commonwealth and in your community and in your country. And I would encourage folks, listen, you can be a change maker today in someone else's life. Obviously, we need to make sure that we are practicing social distancing, but that doesn't mean you can't make a phone call. That doesn't mean that you can write a letter. That doesn't mean that you can do something for somebody else in your community. And that is so important because the need is great right now. It's so obvious. There are a lot of people here in the Commonwealth that are still waiting in the unemployment line that have no means of income. And until these stimulus checks come out or until somebody steps forward and helps them, and that could be you. So look for opportunities to serve in your community today. Leader Cutler, thank you again for taking the time to join us and talk with us today. And thank you for your leadership and your love for this Commonwealth. I would encourage everybody to watch the video that we posted earlier this week from Brian's remarks on the floor. They were so inspirational, and thank you for doing that. Leader Cutler always stands for what is right, and that is something that I really appreciate about you and your leadership. I know that I can say this for the both of us, that if there is any state-related issue at all that we can help with, please reach out to our offices. That is what we are here to do. We're here to make sure that you have a solid voice and good representation in Harrisburg. There are legislators all across the Commonwealth that are doing that. So reach out to your local legislator, and we are here to help you. Remember to be Pennsylvania strong and a change maker in your community, your Commonwealth, and your country.